it turns out that disruptive innovation has always been with us. It's always been the only way to grow. But for most organizations, even big companies, the opportunity to have a disruptive innovation was rare. It wouldn't happen very often. But today in the digital world, it happens more frequently because not only do you have social media, you've got e-commerce. So you can be in the retail realm in a matter of hours or days. You don't have to convince some sales force somewhere to handle your product, or you don't have to create a sales force. You don't have to find retailers. You can be in the marketplace within days with e-commerce. They can go directly to you and order. And then we've got the Internet of Things, which has really changed things. We've got artificial intelligence, which has really changed things. And so these are tools that allow us to be in the marketplace effectively very quickly, or to come up with a disruptive innovation. In the Internet of Things, we've got the Internet, and we've got GPS, and we've got so many things we just didn't have a few decades ago. And what that combination of things means is that the opportunity to have a disruptive innovation is much more frequent than it used to be, maybe 10 times more frequent. And what that also means is the opportunity for your competitors is more frequent too. So you have to worry about staying relevant. Relevant means that you have the visibility and credibility to be considered. Well, if somebody else is creating a new subcategory, you lose relevance.
The smartest marketers from all walks of life, in every industry, talking about the latest trends, opportunities, and challenges. Insights from marketing executives at organizations like National Geographic, IBM, and the Baltimore Ravens. And tips from business authors and experts known around the world. Ways to improve your community's marketing, starting now, right here on the Marketing Smarts Podcast.
Marketing Smarts listeners, it's your boy George B. Thomas, and I'm super excited because we're talking about branding, stories, social efforts, and all sorts of innovation with David Aker. By the way, did I mention that all of that is towards the B2B lens? Of course, you know how the show goes. We're going to talk about what keeps David up at night. We're going to talk about what success looks like. We're even going to cover some of the hurdles that might come along the way. And of course, we'll land the plane with some words of wisdom from David around the branding story, social efforts, and innovation conversation that we're having today. But David Aker is the Vice Chairman of Profit and Professor Emeritus of Marketing Strategy at the University of California, Berkeley Haas School of Business. He is the winner of 5 career awards for contributions to the practice and science of marketing, including the Paul D. Converse Award, the Vijay Mahajan Award, the Buck Weaver Award, the Seth Foundation Medal, and being named to the NYAMA Marketing Hall of Fame. He has published over 100 articles and 18 books that have sold well over 1 million copies and been translated into 18 languages, including strategic marketing management, building strong brands, brand leadership, brand portfolio strategy, from Fargo to the world of brands, spanning silos, branding relevance, and much, much more. Named one of the top 5 most important marketing business gurus in 2007, Aker has won awards for the best article in the California Management Review and the Journal of Marketing, not once, but twice. A recognized authority on brand strategy, he has been an active consultant and speaker throughout the world. He regularly blogs as davidaker.com. And, of course, you can visit him on LinkedIn. Now, with that out of the way, ladies and gentlemen, let's go ahead and get into the good stuff as soon as we hear a word from our sponsor. Tactical sessions, inspirational keynotes, off-the-clock antics, and let's not forget about immeasurable connections. What am I talking about? The B2B Forum, of course. For more than 15 years, the B2B Forum has been the conference where today's leading B2B marketers gather for insights, networking, and laughs. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's never too early to plan for success. Join us in 2023 in October for inspiration from B2B marketing experts, and I mean those marketers who walk the walk and know how to talk the talk in a way that you can understand. Get access to real-world actionable insights on the tactics and tools that work today and strategies that stand the test of time. When you say, Well, on October 4th, you can join us for the B2B Forum full-day workshop for all access attendees. And on the 5th and 6th, well, spectacular conference shenanigans. That's right. If you head over to the B2B Forum website right now, you can sign up to join us October 4th through the 6th for some amazing education. And guess what? I'll see you next year at the B2B Forum. That's right. I'll be there. Will you? All right, Marketing Smarts listeners, you know what time it is. David Aker, B2B branding, stories, social, innovation, all the things that you need to be jotting down those precious notes for those action items that you're going to take after this episode. Let's get into the good stuff. Well, Marketing Smarts listeners, we're back with another episode of the Marketing Smarts podcast. And you know me, I'm your boy, George B. Thomas, and I'm super duper excited because today I get to sit down with David Aker and we're talking about B2B branding, social media, disruptive innovation. Heck, we might even talk about story along the way. That's right. This is going to be jam packed with a bunch of information that you as a B2B marketer need in your organization, need to pay attention to, and probably just need to maybe rewind a couple times as you listen. So David, how the heck are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for joining us. So, David, on the podcast, I like to have fun with some of the questions I ask. You'll find out along the way. The first one that I like to ask is when we're talking about, and what we might just kind of all bundle this all together in a thing of like, when we're talking about branding and social media and innovation and story and organizations, aka B2B marketers inside those organizations. David, I want to know, what keeps you up at night? It could be a nightmare. It could be a dream. But what keeps you up at night around this topic?
I'm usually involved in my latest book, whatever that is. So since you're asking me today, I'm really focusing in on how do you make social effort more effective? Because the world simply needs it. There's inequality, there's climate change, and there's healthcare and well-being. And the world needs businesses to step up because they have the agility, they have the resources, they have the know-how to do something. And my take is the way to make them more effective is to use them, in addition to having a social impact, to build the brand, to build your brand, to give it energy. Some of these brands don't get much energy from their offering, to give them an image lift and to give them a way to gain engagement, which is the highest level of customer connection. So at the moment, that's kind of top of mind for me.
I love it. So it's interesting. You mentioned the word social effort. Can you kind of maybe dive into when you talk about social effort, what you mean with that with companies and people who work in these organizations?
Really good question, George. Well, my take, and I've looked at hundreds of companies, what they usually do is they have a social effort that consists of a series of grants. They might give hundreds of grants to all kinds of nonprofits. They have a volunteer program. Everybody gets 2 days off to go volunteer. And they fill out an ESG report, which has got hundreds of dimensions. And all this is ad hoc. It's fragmented. It's not focused, usually not that effective. And most of all, it's impossible to communicate. So their employees are wanting them to do something. Some of their customers are wanting, even their investors want them to do something, and they can't communicate what they do. And so what I say is you need signature programs that are branded, that really do make impact, that have visibility, that are newsworthy, that are creative, that are different. And you use them to be the flag bearer for your social purpose.
So when we kind of talk about this, and again, I want to start to break down some of these individual elements that we put in the title of, you know, branding, social media, social effort, disruptive innovation. When talking about branding and social media and disruptive innovation, what the heck, when we say disruptive innovation, what do you mean, David?
I define disruptive innovation means when you establish a whole new category by creating some must-haves that customers insist on. These can be functional must-haves or they can be emotional, they can be personality, they can be the way you buy, the way you use or something. But it's something different and new and worthwhile that define what you buy to the extent that if an offering or a company does not provide that, they will be less relevant in the marketplace. And that's what I mean by that. And what I observe by reading all kinds of books like Blue Ocean and Disruptive Innovation by Christensen and all those books and articles about it, they never mention branding. It's not even in the index. I mean, honest to God, it's not in the index. But my take is, if you have a disruptive innovation, like Prius was a disruptive innovation, they owned a subcategory for 12 years, absolutely owned it. There's a lot of disruptive innovations in the e-commerce space, and eyewear and razor blades. Dollar Shave Club, for example, was a disruptive innovation. Branding has to do four things, and they're indispensable. They have to become the exemplar brand, the spokesman for the new subcategory. They have to position the subcategory, which is different than positioning the brand. They have to scale it really fast these days, and they have to build barriers. And those are all branding jobs. Those are all indispensable for having your disruptive innovation be successful.
So it's interesting. I love this idea. You're like, it's not even in the index. It's not in the book. So dive a little bit deeper into, why is disruptive innovation important when thinking about B2B brands and branding for these initiatives?
It's because it's literally, with some rare exceptions, it is the only way to grow. The only way. I think the most robust empirical law that we have in all of marketing, if you go back a whole century of research and observation about marketing, the one empirical law is that we know what causes a new product to succeed. And you know what that is? It's being different. And there's all kinds of studies. I mean, dozens and dozens of incredible studies on new product and what makes them successful. It's being different. Because if they're different, people listen to their information and they buy them and they try them. If they're not different, they ignore them. And that really is some support for the idea that if you want to grow, my brand is better than your brand doesn't make it. It doesn't create growth. It just doesn't. What does create growth is to create new must-have, defining new subcategories.
David, you talk about being different. We did a great episode with Sally Hogshead about different is better than better. If you haven't listened to that two-part series of different is better than better, then you definitely need to check it out. So, David, let's go ahead and dig a little bit deeper, right? We're talking about, okay, you've got to create kind of this subcategory. You've got to create this innovation. You want to be different. Because you're different, you need to pay attention to branding yourself in that direction. And I'm sure that could be a whole conversation in itself. But let's bring it up to today and talk about, how does innovation, how does branding then collide with what maybe companies should be doing with B2B, like social media strategies, tactics, conversations?
You mean if you have a disruptive innovation or just in general?
If you're trying to create that disruptive innovation and get it out to the world, right? You've branded it. Now, how do you get that message out to the world?
One of the realities today is that we do have social media, and so everything has changed. What that means is that it's possible to scale. You've got things to work with. You've got tools you didn't have 15 years ago. And one of those tools is social media. Now it turns out that you don't need 5 or 9 months in sort of a brief to an advertising agency and wait for them to buy media and so on and so on. You can be in the marketplace in 2 days with social media. A Dollar Shave Club it's not a B2B company, but Dollar Shave Club, when they started, did a 3-minute video that was hilarious. It was all about ridiculing Gillette and ridiculing the drugstores that sold this stuff. And they got 18,000 subscribers to their razor blade service in 48 hours. And that launched the company. They sold $1 billion 4 years later to Unilever. But you couldn't do it without social media. So anyway, social media gives you one tool that you didn't have before. It makes the objective or the need to scale your business more feasible than it ever did before. But that's not to say that it's easy. It's not easy to go viral. And it takes a lot of luck and so on. I've done 380 blogs, and maybe 20 of them have gone viral, only one or two really viral. There was a lot of really good ones that didn't. And so just to say you have social media and you have the possibility to reach a large audience doesn't mean it's going to happen. But nevertheless, that's a tool that you have to work with, which it goes back 60 years to the idea of word-of-mouth communication and how powerful that was. and people knew about it way back then, and that's when you had people to people.
Are you looking for great curated content specific to you, the B2B marketer? Want to have fun while also learning valuable information to help you succeed on a daily basis? Then you're in luck. Look no further. This week's Marketing Smarts podcast is brought to you by the Marketing Smarts live show. That's right. You can join us live every Monday where we shine the spotlight on you, the community members, share fresh B2B news, several top-notch curated articles to help you be a better marketer, and of course, have tons of fun along the way. If you want even more B2B marketing education with the ability to ask questions and engage with the rest of the audience, tune in every Monday at 10 a.m. Eastern for the Marketing Smarts live show. You won't regret the additional B2B learning you'll be adding to your life. Now, let's get back to this episode of the Marketing Smarts podcast. Yeah, I love this. And by the way, it's still people to people, or like guys like to say, human to human. And Marketing Smarts listeners, you don't have to go viral, just go value. That'll get you a lot of way down the road. Now, here's the thing, David, I want to circle back in. I love that you called social media a tool, because I think another tool that we can have in our tool belt is this idea that we kind of hit upon at the very beginning, and that's story. So you're trying to have this disruptive innovation, right? How important is, or how does story collide with what you're trying to do?
In today's environment, there's media clutter, it's all over the place, and you got information overload. So people cope by basically ignoring. They stop processing. And not only that, if you do somehow by brute force get it through, they're skeptical. Yeah, but everybody says that, or, you know, you don't really deliver. It's, you're talking tokenism or something. Well, what does break through is stories. If you have an interesting story about your company values, your company heritage, your product functionality, and so on, a story does break through. If you have a story that I call a signature story that really tells your strategic story in a way that has some pop, that has some wow, that's got some, you got to hear this kind of thing. So that's the kind of story I'm talking about. You know, let me just give you a couple examples. You know, there was a company in China in the mid-80s that was going out of business. They made junk. They had a mid-manager take over the company and said, you know, try to save this sucker. And 2 weeks later, a customer came in with a defective appliance, and he said, oh, I'll go to the warehouse, I'll find a new one for you. And 70% of those were defective. He brought them all on the shop floor, got some sledgehammers, and his employees smashed them. And he said, from now on, building quality stuff. No more of this defective crap. That company today is the largest manufacturer of appliances in the whole world. It really started with a quality promise. And today, that sledgehammer is in a museum. Every employee of Haier knows about the story. Most of the retailers does it well, and even some customers. They know that Haier means quality. Now, you can say, our company makes quality products. We design for quality. We test for quality. And it's all bullshit. I mean, everybody says that. But Haier's got the sledgehammer. They got the story. And that is memorable. And that says it all. And nobody counter-argues, and nobody voices skepticism about the story. Nobody goes to sleep when they tell that story. All the B2B companies I know, including my own, Profit, we're a brand and transformation consulting company, they have all these stories to illustrate how great they are, right? My company has 100 or more. And so when they go into a client, they say, let me tell you a story about how we did that and that and that and how great we are. And those stories almost always are watered down. They don't have any of the tension, the excitement that went into creating that story or that application for a customer, but they sort of check the box. We've got a story for this kind of application, and we're going to use it in this kind of pitch. So what I'm saying is that just because you have stories, just because you have client stories, maybe you have a lot of them, maybe you have one for every conceivable situation, just be careful. They're not watered down. They have some tension. They have some emotion. They have some interest level. And to do that, you've got to have some detail. You've got to have customers that are willing to let you tell the story and how shitty things were before you arrived and how you saved the day. And how you had a lot of tension along the way. There was some pushback, and you had to overcome some hurdles. That's got to be in the story.
I love that. That's a super powerful part, that last little segment right there, and the power of story and what it does to the mindsets of the humans who hear it, who are part of it, or maybe being shared with it in the future. So this question has kind of been banging around in my brain the entire time we've been talking, David, because I know there's a lot of different types of organizations, B2B marketers that work in different types of organizations listening today. And so I just have to ask the question to see where it goes. Is disruptive innovation for everyone? In other words, who as a podcast listener would you be like, well, yes, it is, or no, it's not, and maybe here's why. What are your thoughts?
It turns out that disruptive innovation has always been with us. It's always been the only way to grow. But for most organizations, even big companies, the opportunity to have a disruptive innovation was rare. It wouldn't happen very often. But today in the digital world, it happens more frequently because not only do you have social media, you've got e-commerce. So you can be in the retail realm in a matter of hours or days. You don't have to convince some sales force somewhere to handle your product, or you don't have to create a sales force. You don't have to find retailers. You can be in the marketplace within days with e-commerce. They can go directly to you and order. And then we've got the Internet of Things, which has really changed things. We've got artificial intelligence, which has really changed things. And so these are tools that allow us to be in the marketplace effectively very quickly, or to come up with a disruptive innovation. In the Internet of Things, we've got the Internet, and we've got GPS, and we've got so many things we just didn't have a few decades ago. And what that combination of things means is that the opportunity to have a disruptive innovation is much more frequent than it used to be, maybe 10 times more frequent. And what that also means is the opportunity for your competitors is more frequent too. So you have to worry about staying relevant. Relevant means that you have the visibility and credibility to be considered. Well, if somebody else is creating a new subcategory, you lose relevance.
I love it so much. So, David, question for you. If we're a company, we're like, you know what? We actually have an opportunity to disrupt a space, to create a subcategory. We love what David's saying. We need to focus on branding those initiatives. We need to think about the story that we have to tell. We need to figure out a social media strategy to do that. David, what are the hurdles that are going to get in the way of success? What are the things that the Marketing Smarts listener should be watching out for along the way?
Well, I think that one thing, this particularly is true of startups, but it's true in general, and that is that if you have a disruptive innovation, you need to access branding talent and branding concepts and branding tools. Because what happens is that the number one priority is to have people on your team that have the technology and the skills and the resources to come up with this disruptive idea and to make it happen. So that's the number one. And for a startup, the number two is to get money. But even within a business, the number two thing is to get organizational support for this. You've got to have a home in the organization. You've got to have funding within the organization. And that's the number two job. And then everybody knows you need marketing, you need to have an advertising, you need a name, you need a tagline, and so on. But what you really need is a branding strategy. And you need branding talent within the organization or outside the organization. You've got to be able to realize that is an indispensable part of your future success. So I think that's really a problem that really isn't recognized, or even if it's recognized, they find it difficult to do that. And so most disruptive innovation programs lack upfront branding.
So one of the things I like to do, David, on the podcast is kind of the two sides of the same coin. So I just asked about hurdles, aka potholes, things that get in the way. And so when you think about, you know, maybe there's a company or a couple of companies that are killing it, what in the world does success look like around this whole, like, we came up with an idea, we executed it, we're branding, we're storytelling. What does success look like? How do we know we've reached this kind of disruptive, innovative idea nirvana, if you will?
Well, you look at Apple, you look at Microsoft, you look at Caterpillar, you look at Goldman Sachs, and all these B2B companies. What you see is really a solid use of branding. And we have things like a Microsoft Word and PowerPoint and Office and Apple iPod and iPhone. And all these are brands or sub-brands or endorsed brands that really stand for something. You say, what is the iPhone about? And people can give you three or four or five pillars that become well-known, and it really is the foundation of their success. And these are dynamic, and they change over time, and they've handled the dynamic thing so well in all these cases. But I think that the key thing you're looking for is relevance. And if you've really done it well, what you've done is to reduce or eliminate the relevance of competitors, and you enhance the relevance of your offering. And again, relevance is visibility and credibility.
Love it, David. Absolutely love it. So as we land the plane here and let the Marketing Smarts listeners get back to their regularly scheduled day, my man, you've been on a journey. I've been on a journey. The listeners have been on a journey. And along a journey, we pick up some what we call wisdom. So what are some words of wisdom around the topics, because it has been many, that we've been talking about today, or it could be life in general, but what are some words of wisdom that you would want to leave the Marketing Smarts audience?
Well, my take, George, and it has been for some time, first my take was try to understand branding and how people should manage brands. Started off, what is brand equity? Turns out to be relevance, image, and loyalty. And then I talked about how do you manage it, and that is really develop what are your brand pillars and how do you communicate them. But lately, these last four or so books I've done, what I've really focused on is to apply branding to strategic areas that have ignored or underplayed branding. And so I brought branding to the problem of breaking through the clutter in the form of storytelling. I gave a branding slant to that. I gave a branding slant to disruptive innovation. I gave a branding slant to social programs and being effective there. And so that's sort of been my take.
So, Marketing Smarts listeners, did you take lots of notes? I have to ask, what is your hashtag one thing? Your number one execution opportunity after this podcast. Make sure you reach out and let us know in my inbox or on Twitter using the hashtag MPB2B. Also, I have to ask, are you a free member of the Marketing Profs community yet? If not, head over to mprofs.com/MP today. You won't regret the additional B2B marketing education you'll be adding to your life. Hey, listeners, we'd like it if you could leave us a rating or review on your favorite podcast app. But we'd love it if you'd share this episode with a coworker or friend. Until we meet in the next episode of the Marketing Smarts podcast, where we talk with Jody Daniels about how marketers can navigate a world minus cookies, and what does that even mean, I hope you do just a couple of things. One, reach out and let us know what conversation you'd like to listen in on next. Two, focus on getting 1% better at your craft each and every day. And finally, remember to be a happy, helpful, humble B2B marketing human. And we'll see you in the next episode of the Marketing Smarts Podcast.